Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've been moved all day by the presence of the Lord. I thought God met us in a very wonderful way here this morning. I just sensed the divine presence of God. I don't take away from any aspect of God which we have been taught and know to be true. I teach and preach, as you know, the omnipresence of God. I don't understand a lot of what I know about the Word. But there was a time, and I believe it was in the book of Luke, where it says of Jesus' ministry that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, there's no reason to say that unless it was different than it was at other times. And I have discovered over the years of ministry that He always meets us. But there are times when He comes in unusual ways. Amen. He comes and touches our hearts and thrills our life. I used to do a lot of silly things. Now I don't do very many of them. But I remember one time when we were in Eastern Oregon, that the presence of the Lord was so very real. So very real. Oh, I've got to tell you a story. Now, if I forget, maybe a night or two later you can get it. But I have I'm looking forward to something special in this service tonight. Now, I've been weeping all afternoon. It just seemed like my hands would go up and I would begin to weep. The presence of God was so real. But one Sunday night in church in Burns, I'd had a hard day. I'd had a hard time. And by the way, I am going to talk to you tonight, Lord willing, about the value of an experience or an encounter with God. But I'd had a very difficult time, and so in the service, I was leading the service, and I was encouraging the people to pray. Now, if God begins to speak to your spirit and if the enemy begins to speak to your spirit, you learn the voices. Even while you're doing something else. And here I am. Come on, people, let's praise the Lord. And there was a voice from one side or the other. I forget which shoulder he was on. You're a hypocrite. You're asking these people to praise the Lord, and you don't feel like it yourself. You're a hypocrite. You know who that was? One of them. And just that quick, I can't always snap my fingers, but it did good tonight. Just that quick, another voice said, "You are never in the flesh when you are praising and magnifying Jesus." Amen. You are never in the flesh. He went on to say that the desire to say, "Lord, I love you, I praise you," does not originate certainly with the enemy of your soul. It does not originate with the flesh that you battle. the desire to say, Jesus, I love you, comes right from the Lord Himself. He initiates that. But He wasn't through with me. He said, regardless of how you feel, whether you're tired, whether you've had a difficult day, regardless of that, you can still say, I thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. So regardless of what your day has been, would you mind just joining me for a moment in worship to the Lord? Hallelujah. Yamandaramaka. Yasoto. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have a lot of seemingly conflicting doctrines in the Bible. I'm not going to go through them. They are not. They're simply lacking in our understanding. But they're seemingly conflicting. And I know that everything comes to us by faith. That's the avenue that everything comes, is to believe. The world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. Amen. And I realize that although the feelings are a wonderful thing, you cannot live your Christian life on how you feel. And yet I also know that there are times in our lives, our spiritual lives, where there are encounters with God, where there are experiences with God, where we meet God in an unusual way. It sometimes is in our mind. It sometimes is in our feeling. Sometimes it's in a time when we didn't even expect to meet the Lord. And these things become mileposts in our life. Do you know in the Old Testament that something would happen and they'd say, let's raise an altar. Amen. Let's remember what God has done. And you know, if you live in the Lord very long and live very close to God, there's a number of mileposts in your life. You remember. I was telling your pastor about my wife was going to minister a youth meeting. We weren't even at that time dating, but she was going to preach for the youth service, and people came in from Portland that were needing God. And my dad, who was the pastor of the church, whispered and said, Sylvia, try to reach some people here tonight they need the Lord. And she began to preach. And at one point in that message, she ceased preaching and began to prophesy. That place became charged. She was just a teenager. That place became charged by the power of God. And before that service was over, those people that needed the Lord were here, finding God. I can remember that vividly. The people that were there can remember it vividly. It was an encounter with God. God using a teenage girl to prophesy and minister to the lost. Would you turn with me to the book of 1 John? 1 John. Chapter 1. And I want you to note some special people that are coming in the door and walking down the aisle and so forth. That's our daughter, our wonderful son-in-law, and two of the best grandkids you ever laid eyes on. Well, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The value of an experience or an encounter with God. Heavenly Father, look upon us with favor, O Lord, tonight. Touch every one of our hearts, O God, by your Spirit. Father God, look upon our needs. And as I minister, O Lord, let the need of the one that is crying out to God for help be met by the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together, I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, unctionize me, O Lord, by the Spirit. Help me to have an eloquence which is not mine, but which is the Holy Spirit. Father, anoint me, O God, and anoint the people to hear. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I was interested in the definition, the dictionary definition of what an experience is. And I came up with this in my dictionary. The effect on judgment or feelings, either judgment or feelings, produced by personal or direct impressions. Effect on a person. What happened to him? What happened to him? John was ministering to quite a bit of unbelievers. As you open up the book of 1 John, you know that he was facing difficulties in philosophy and mental attitudes in people's lives. And he starts out by saying, this is not something that we just heard about. This is not a myth. This is something that I know our hands have handled. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It's something that we had a tremendous personal experience with. And we had this experience and we'll never forget it. Amen. I had an encounter with the word of life. Somebody mentioned the other day, maybe it was in, I think it was in the Sunday school class, of the two on the road to Emmaus. Years ago, I heard someone opine that he thought maybe that might have been a man and his wife. It doesn't say. It just said there were two on the road to Emmaus. And they were downcast. And Jesus, unbeknown to them, started walking with them. And you know the story of how they went. And when they finally came, and Jesus made as if he would go on, and they said, "Oh, abide with us, will you?" And he came in, and then he all along had talked to them about the Messiah and the words of the prophets and so forth. And afterwards they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us in the way?" And have you ever been in the presence of God where your heart was burning within you? You were burning of the Spirit of God because God was speaking to you. God was saying something to you. God was doing something in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. An experience with God. Alone, a feeling that I have that maybe others don't have. I want to talk to you a little bit about biblical examples. And I may speak to you a little bit concerning one person in the Bible I mentioned the other day that you may not have heard before, but I got this from Arthur Pink in Gleanings in Genesis. In Genesis 5:21, we have the story. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now there is not a clear rendering of what Methuselah means. But taking this for what it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Pink quotes Newberry as saying that that means when he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, meaning Methuselah, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Now, it's very clear that he lived 65 years and there isn't any special expression that he has been walking with God. But he begat Methuselah, and it says then very clearly, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters and was not. Now, here's the idea. Here is the thought behind this. Here is a baby born to Enoch and his wife. And God says to him in a way that he cannot doubt, "You see that baby? You see that Enoch? When that baby dies, this world's coming to an end. When that baby dies." What was it that he said? "When he is dead, it shall be sent." Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And if that kid got a cough, I would be concerned. What do you think? We got the chicken pox, even if it is common. Watch out now. But here's the beautiful thing. A lot of people think they know the God of the Old Testament, but they don't. The man whose life was determining the length of this earth before the flood destroyed everything except eight people and a few animals lived longer than any other human that has ever lived on this earth. Longer than any. The Bible says that this caused Enoch to walk with God. He walked with God because of an experience, because God spoke to him in that period of time. And he walked with God in such a manner that he was not, for God took him. An experience with God. I know you know the story. You know these stories backwards and forwards. Most of you have taught them and so forth. But maybe you might not have thought. There was a man whose name was Jacob. And he had all kinds of problems. He had a problem with his brother. And he was forever having problems there in the home. Mother took Jacob's side and Dad took Esau's side. And I've had people say to me, Brother Van, who was right there? There wasn't anybody right. There wasn't anybody right. No one there was trusting God. Rebecca tried to deceive Isaac into blessing Jacob. Isaac wanted to bless Esau, knew he shouldn't, and he had to go out and get all filled up with what he thought was venison. He didn't know the difference between goat and venison, but he got filled up. And now when he got full, he said, okay, I'll bless you now. And here comes Jacob in, and when he was filled, he blessed him. And here is the faith of Isaac. When Esau came in and said, are you ready to bless me? He said, what? Who is this? He said, it's Esau. He said, oh, I've given your blessing already away. And he cried and he said, Father, is not there something for me? And Isaac exhibited his faith and he said, I have blessed Jacob. And he shall be blessed. He affirmed it. Well, you know the story how that Jacob had to take off and he ran toward his uncle Laban's house. He got to Luz. And there he decided to go to a motel. Only thing about it, all they had was stone beds. And he laid down with a pillow for a stone. And he dreamed, and he know the dream, and he woke up in the morning, and he said, well, you know, God was in this place, and I didn't even know it. He dreamed of the ladder to heaven, and he named that place Bethel, the house of God. There was an experience that 20 years later, God came to him and said to him, Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. I'm the one that met you there on that pillar of stone, that pillar of stone. And I want you to go back to Bethel. Go back to the house of God. Go back to where you've experienced. And some of these days, he may be saying to some of us, I want you to go back to the place where you met God. I want you to go back and pray the prayer that took you into the presence of God, where you had an experience with God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, Uzziah reigned 52 years in Judah. 52 years, one of the longest reigning kings in the history of Israel. Brother, I want you to know Isaiah was not a newcomer when King Uzziah died. He had been prophesying. But when Uzziah died, he was in the temple and he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Jesus referred back to that time when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He had an experience with God, and I know that he never forgot it all of his life. You know the story of Paul on the Damascus Road and how he had murder in his heart, and he started out and got knocked to the ground on the road to Damascus and had an experience. And he said, Lord, who are you? He said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And until the day he died, Paul never forgot his experience on the Damascus Road. He even remembered how sorrowful he had been when he found out that this Jesus that he was persecuting the Christians, that was the way. And he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. He never forgot. Had the Sunday school lesson of the story of Stephen. Our first son was named Stephen James after the first two martyrs. I'm not sure he likes me to say that, you know. I mean, they're not predicting anything, but I was so moved by the story of Stephen. The story of Stephen. And there was a man that looked into the face of God from earth. There are some experiences that every one of us have that's of a different nature, and usually they are met with rejoicing. Every one of us that have found Christ, that have discovered the Lord, it brings joy into our life. The Holy Spirit. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was 5 weeks after I was saved. I thought I was never going to get it. We had a revival, and children, like, were playing here in the church before service. They were playing outside of that little tabernacle in North Bonneville, Washington. And a Jewish boy from New York City was headed toward Portland on the Washington side, and he saw the children, and he came over and went into the church. The next day, we had a morning prayer meeting, sort of like we have, only we prayed and there was quite just a few people. But this guy named Jerry came to that prayer meeting, and my father, knowing the Word of God, showed him about how Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And Jerry found the Lord. His father was a rabbi in New York City. Well, he didn't have anything, and he lived with us, and I was not long out of the Army, so I still had a little bit of money, separation pay. And I bought Jerry some clothes, and the next night went to church, and I received the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, I was all over that building. Oh my, you know, you can sort of see what I might have been when I had some spizzarinktum. And I was going here and yon and everywhere. And Jerry's eyes, I wouldn't care about his eyes or anything else. I was just really so super happy. And when we lived about two blocks from where the church was, and Jerry and I went home, and I was all over the road. They'd have sure put me in jail for being drunk if they hadn't caught me. And I went upstairs, and I was so happy, I turned the somersault, clothes and all, right in the bed. Jerry looked at that. Would you believe the next night, when the altar call was made, he was there, and he knelt on his down, and he raised his hands, and this is what he said: "Oh Lord, give me your ghost. Give me your ghost." Now, you had experiences similar to that, I know. I can see it on some of your faces. You have had experiences that were so thrilling that words can't express. In the normal Christian way. But there are encounters that we have with God that sometimes are so unique. Enoch had a crisis with Methuselah. Jacob had a crisis of family problems. Isaiah had a crisis of governmental leadership. And Uzziah was a good king. And he probably leaned upon Uzziah as king. And so there's probably people that have spiritual hunger, that have cried out to God, "Oh God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord." You know the story of Jabez? I wrote an article in 1958 on the prayer of Jabez and sent it to the Evangel. They sent it back and said, "We're not going to tell you why, but we're not going to publish it." Thanks a lot, Harry. But strangely, when this Bruce Wilkinson book came out, Seuss went to the archives in our trailer, and she pulled out the original copy of what I had written in 1958 in Indiana, the Prayer of Jabez. So I just want you to know, I knew Jabez a while. But the thing that thrills me about the Prayer of Jabez, well, there's a lot of thrilling things, but one of the things is the setting. It's in one of those parts of Chronicles where you just get so tired, you want to read the Bible through, and some guy's name that you can't pronounce begat some other guy's name you can't pronounce, and you just go on and on and on. And then you come to that little oasis in that desert that says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." His mother had borne him in sorrow. What that is, we'll never know. But he prayed a prayer, and the Bible says God granted him his request. Jabalubi beget Jabalibi. And it goes on. That is so beautiful. In the Word of God, an experience with God in the midst of a desert. Amen. An experience with God. Caught the favor of God. Caught the attention of God. And God stopped all of that and blessed a man in the middle of it all. You want to know something? Would you please hear me? Your life may have a lot of sorrow in it, but if you will cry out to the living God somewhere down the road, He will stop in the midst of your desert, and he'll give you an experience that will be something for you. It may not mean anything to anyone else, but it will mean something to you. I want to tell you a couple of experiences that I've had. I think I have been blessed, and certainly not because that I have any special relationship with the Lord. I really don't believe that. I have probably needed more things than most people. But I remember one time I was holding a revival. I was pastoring a church and holding a revival for someone else. And I was in the church all by myself. And I was praying and I was going through some deep waters. Now, some of you are not going to get blessed with this because it's going to run right straight across your theology. If you have a theology that's easy to run across, put your fingers in yours. I was praying, and so help me, God spoke to me and whispered in my ear and said, "Are you willing to be a failure for the Lord?" See, I knew you wouldn't say amen on that. I said, "Lord, I want to be a success." How about flipping that around a little? God continued to speak to my heart. "Are you willing to be a failure for the Lord?" And he kept talking to me, and I kept resisting, kept talking to me. And finally, I'm sure I was crying. And I said, "God, if there is any way that you can get any glory or any help or the kingdom would be advanced by my being a failure, Lord, I'm willing to be a failure." Now, that didn't thrill you very much. And I wasn't really crazy about it either, to tell the truth. But I sensed a yielding to God that he had something in me that he had not had. I went to a 3-day prayer meeting in a neighboring community from the church that we pastored. And I came back on Friday, but I was so inspired of the presence of God that I continued. I took books and went back into a room and I stayed there Saturday, waiting upon the Lord. And during that time on a Saturday, God spoke to my heart to do something the following day, Sunday morning. And I was in a little better shape at that time, and I said, "Yes, I'll do that." A little unusual. But people came to church. I waited until everybody was in the building. And I went outside and did what I felt like God was speaking me to do. I raised my hands, just opened my eyes enough so I wouldn't fall in a ditch or something. And I certainly didn't want to see anybody in the eye. I didn't want to look at anybody. And I raised my hands and I started speaking in tongues outside on the sidewalk. Right around the church I went, speaking in tongues. Nobody saw me. Wonderful. I came back in. Nobody knew what took place. And in those days, we didn't have praise teams like you did. We had a song leader, and most of the time, they didn't know much about it. But we started the service that morning, and all of a sudden, that place exploded. It surprised me. I hadn't seen them do that before. And I'm standing up front, my mouth open. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "In obedience to me, you wove a hedge of the Holy Ghost around this service, and no evil spirits this morning are here. This is what can happen if you just have just the presence of God and all of that evil is on the outside. I can sense that now. I can sense that right now. I know what had taken place. I could go and I could tell you of some other experiences that I had with the Lord. But I want to get down to where, as one fellow says, what's that got to do with the price of bananas in Guatemala? Well, we want to find out what's that got to do with anything here. Anything here. Would you hear me, people? I prayed. I was in a spirit of prayer. I did lay down. Well, got in a recliner and I half lay, you know, and slept for maybe 45 minutes or an hour. But some of that time, I woke up and I was praying, worshiping. And I'm expecting people here to meet with God in an unusual way. There is one way that God is moved by His children. It always seems to move. And that is when we lift our hands and we praise the Lord. We magnify the Lord. We worship the Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my God. God, I pray. Oh, God, I pray. And if you're having difficulty of any kind, physical, spiritual, family-wise, work-wise, whatever it may be, if you will lay that aside for a few minutes tonight, and if you will put your hands up, and if you will out of your heart cry, God, I worship you and praise you. And in the back of all of this, I want to meet you. I want you to meet you tonight. I want to meet you. Now I'm not absolutely sure what to do next. But I'll tell you what I would like to do. I would like for us, just while we're seated here, to slip up our hands and begin to praise and glorify the Lord. And did you know I was hot? Ramandaramasaya. I worship you, Lord. I glorify you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy God. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, to your name. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Father, sweep through this place tonight. By the divine power of God, I cry. In the name of Jesus, touch lives, touch hearts. Lord, touch spirits, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we cry. Hear us, O Lord, I pray. Hear us, Lord, tonight. Meet with us, O Lord. Meet with us, O Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you will, I'd like for you to stand, and I'd like for you to come forward, and I want you to just to take your liberty and lift your hands and worship and glorify God. Just come around the front. Go down the aisles. Go anywhere, but let's praise God. Let's praise the Lord and magnify your name. Praise your Lord and magnify your name. Hallelujah, Lord, to your name. If you want to kneel and pray, that's all right. Whatever it is, just ask God to be your help and your strength. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to your name, 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 Lord. Glory to